Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, I get a lot of people who come to me who are from the community and part of the congregation also. And they say to me that we can't see the difference between those who are Sunnis and those who claim to be Shias. And so, is there any difference between those who are Sunnis and those who are Shias? Some of them have even said to me that it would be nice that as imams you can point out the difference between the two from their own books so that it becomes easy for a person to make his own choice. And that is why I felt that perhaps the month of Muharram is the right time for me to talk on this subject, as even the Sunni Muslims have great love for Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, who was martyred, who became shaheed in Muharram. And of course, who can forget the grandson of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who we love, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. And of course also for the Shias, the month of Muharram, especially the 10 days, you will find them to be engaged in many, many activities. And so that is why I felt that inshallah the month of Muharram is the right time. Now, these lectures are not meant to open up the doors of violence or to break that peace and unity and that cohesion that we have. Alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we are much mature. However, what is very important is for a person to be educated, for him to know what is right and what is wrong. There are two sides of a human being. One is the physical side of a human being, and one is the spiritual side of a human being. And so when it becomes clear for a person, he will also enjoy worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following his deen. A man is free to do whatever he wants. The Quran has made this announcement openly. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. For the rest of the world, it is for them their deen, and for us, it is our deen. That is why in Sunan Abu Dawood, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an is the narrator, and he narrates this very beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that in the past the communities were divided into 72 groups. وَتَفْتَرِكُ أُمَّتِي عَلَىٰ ثَلَاثٍ وَسَبْعِينَ مِلَّةٍ. And my ummah will be divided into 73 groups. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Huraira in Sunan Abi Dawood. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, كُلُّهُمْ فِي النَّارِ. Everyone will be in Jahannam. Every group shall be in Jahannam. Illa millatan wahida, except for one group. Sahabai kiram ajma'een said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Waman hiya ya Rasulullah? Who are they, those that will achieve salvation? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam very clearly has said, Ma ana alay wa ashabi. Those who follow my sunnah, those who follow me, ma ana alay, as in those who follow me, wa ashabi, and those who follow my companions, those who follow my companions. And so the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at, that name actually is derived from this word here, Ma ana alay wa ashabi. That is where we get the name Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at. And in short, we say Sunni Muslims. What do we say? And in Sunniism, of course, you get all the different fiqh that is there. You'll find some people who will follow the fiqh of Imam Malik. You'll find some people who follow the fiqh of Imam Shafi'i, some people follow the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa, some people follow the fiqh of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and so of course in jurisprudence, masail, there is a difference, but these are all very much known as Sunni barristers, great, great individuals. Now, as Muslims, Sunni Muslims rather, our fundamental aqeedah is, of course, the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. That we know, alhamdulillah. But thereafter, what we believe in is that the best after all of the prophets, the best after all of the prophets. So from Adam alayhi salam to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and from the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in its entirety, the best are the two whose names are Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an. This is our aqeedah, sound aqeedah. Now, a man wishes to settle somewhere in London, for an example. And in London, if somebody knows any place, if you can just give me a name of a place in London. Whitechapel. Whitechapel, mashallah. Good. Now, if somebody wants to buy a house in Whitechapel, the first thing a person will do, of course, besides the price, is that he will want to know that if I am buying a house here, who are my neighbors? Am I right or am I wrong? That is logic. You don't want to be living besides thugs and gang leaders and thieves and an area where you get drugs that is being distributed and people are shooting one another and things like that. You don't want to live there. So you will want to buy a house in a place where it is safe, and the first thing you will look at who is to my right and who is to my left. And only then you will make an investment in that property. Now logically imagine, who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose to be the neighbors of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who? Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. Al-Iyazu billah, al-Iyazu billah, al-Iyazu billah. We as individuals, we don't even want to travel with anyone who we are not comfortable with. We will not make nikah with that lady who we don't like or we are not comfortable with. That Allah, who is the Malik of Kun Fayakun, He can do whatever He wants. He is Alim, He is Qadir, He is Azim, He is Ali. Subhanallah, He is, as what we know and what we have been studying in Asma'ul Husna, the most powerful. He is Ahad. He can do whatever He wants. He could have chosen any individual, any part of the world. But the divine decree is that who becomes the neighbors of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and who today is the closest to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Who is it? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala. That is a waqida, that the best person after the best people, the best two individuals after Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, are Shaykhain, are Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an. And today I just want to highlight everything from the books of ahadith so that it becomes clear for people, in case somebody says that, or somebody, Maulana Sahib, is just saying things from his own pocket or something like that. Who knows? Wallahu alam. We get a lot of muftis nowadays. And just for us to actually understand, why do Sunni Muslims believe that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an are the most elite from amongst the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam? I have in front of me the six most authentic books of ahadith, which of course is very sacred to all of the Sunni Muslims. And for a person to become a scholar, he will actually have to go through all of these books that you see here. So in this one book, you have the Sahih Bukhari, the Sahih Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmizi, Nasai, and Ibn Majah. So all of the six books are in this one book here. And rather than for me to flick through different pages, I've just selected one chapter of Kitabul Manaqib, and the book is, the hadith book is Jami' Tirmizi. What is it? Jami' Tirmizi. So that it's easy for me. There is a chapter here in Tirmizi Sharif in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, and Imam Tirmizi has put the words of hadith as a chapter. So it's Babun لو كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا. And it means Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that if I was going to take anyone as my khalil, khalil means someone who is extremely close to a person. You see, one is your friend, but even more than your friend, even more than your bosom friend, someone who is akhassul khawas, extremely, extremely, extremely close, that is a khalil. That is a khalil. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, walau kuntu muttakhizan khalila, if I was going to choose someone as my khalil, someone very, very close to me, latakhaztu ibn abi kuhafata khalilan, I would have chosen the son of Abu Quhafa, as in Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, as my khalil. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Ala wa inna sahibakum khalilullah. But in reality, the khalil of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his heart, and that relationship can only be with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Khalil means that you give your heart to someone. What is it? You know, when you love someone madly, you say, you know what, this person is in my heart. Yaar, isne mera dil jeet liya. You know, this person is in my heart. And so the heart of a Nabi, that is connected to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here, imagine, from the thick of all of the galaxy of the companions, all of the Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in, the Ansar and the Muhajireen, who does Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam select? Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. And then in another hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the narrator of this hadith is Hazrat Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala an. You see, what I want to do is I want to show you from the Sunni text and also from the Shia text, and so that people can have the choice, alhamdulillah, so that we understand and we appreciate that Allah has given us hidayat. And this is something that we need to understand, my respected brothers. Islam is not just about, you know, praying salah, putting on your ihram, and just completing your hajj rituals. It's not that. Islam, the fundamental pillar of Islam is La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand tawheed, that there should be no element of shirk. Understand the risalat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And each should be given the right love and should be understood in the right capacity, so that a person is on sirate mustaqim, on the right path. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here said to the people, اِقْتَدُوا بِالَّذَيْنِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that after me, مِنْ بَعْدِ, after me, اِقْتَدُوا, do iqtida, follow these two, Abu Bakr and Umar. What did he say? After me, follow who? Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. It was unanimously agreed among Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in that the two were the most closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was agreed upon. Even Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an understood this. And he loved Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an. And we know that. That is why he named his children Abu Bakr and Umar. He named his children Abu Bakr and Umar because there was love. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, as Sunnis we believe that Hazrat Abu Bakr is the first Khalifa. Why? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after me follow Abu Bakr and Umar. This is the second hadith. The third hadith which is narrated by Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala an, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali, he said to Hazrat Ali, regarding li Abi Bakr wa Umar, hadani sayyida kuhuli ahli al-jannati min al-awwalin wal-akhirin illa al-nabiyyin wal-mursaleen. La tukhbirhuma ya Ali. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali that these two, as in Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, are the leaders of the elders of my ummah in Jannah. Are the leaders of the elders of my ummah in Jannah. Two leaders, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an. So this is hadith number 3 for us to understand. And hadith number 4 is very, very beautiful. The narrator is Hazrat Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an. And he says, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَرَجَ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ فَدَخَلَ الْمَسْجِدِ وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out one day and he entered the masjid, and also Hazrat Abu Bakr entered, and also Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an entered. Ahaduhuma an yameenihi wal akharu an shimalihi. One of them was to the right of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other one was to the left of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wahuwa akhidun bi aydihima. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was holding both of their hands. So possibly, let's say, that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was to his right, and Hazrat Umar Farooq was to his left. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was holding the hands of Shaykhan. Shaykhan as in Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Hakadha nub'athu yawm al-qiyamah." This is how we will be standing on the day of Qiyamah. This is how we will be standing on the day of Qiyamah. Even today, who is buried in the Hujra of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. And so absolutely what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, imagine the glad tidings given. This was said when Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma were alive. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say to anyone, "Oh Abu Bakr, this is where you have to be buried. Umar, this is where you have to be buried." But these were glad tidings that were given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now again, how many hadith is that?
Four.
And the fifth hadith, look how close Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Hantab is the narrator, and all of these narrations are in Tirmizi. Anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ra'a Aba Bakr wa Umar. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then what did he say after seeing Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar? He said, "Hazani as-sam'u wal-basaru." Abu Bakr and Umar are like the eyes of Muhammad Mustafa and the ears of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now imagine the love that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam must have for him to actually say that my two eyes are Abu Bakr and Umar, and my two ears are Abu Bakr and Umar. Allahu Akbar. Very simple. In all of the books of ahadith you will find this. And then finally the hadith, in the very last days of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was not well, he said to Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, "Muru Aba Bakrin falyusalli bin nas." I can't stand and go inside Masjid Nabwi and lead the congregation. So Aisha, tell Abu Bakr to lead the people in congregation, in Jamaat, radiyallahu ta'ala. Now what does this tell you? If somebody is appointed on the musalla of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ali was there, Hazrat Umar was there, Hazrat Uthman was there, all of the companions were there, but Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, "Muru Aba Bakrin falyusalli bin nas. This tells you that the one who is the imam is also the Khalifa after the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what is the difference between Sunnis and Shiism? Sunnis, of course, believe that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin, and we believe the line of Khulafa'i Rashid. What is it? After the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first Khalifa is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq, Hazrat Uthman, and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. And then of course, it goes on to the companions, but the Khulafa'i Rashid. Now, the Shia sect, they don't follow this line. And remember, this was done from Abdullah ibn Sabah, who was a Jewish man, pretending to be a Muslim during the Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. And so, of course, it was difficult for someone to come up with a plan. And believe me, Abdullah ibn Sabah was very intelligent. Intelligent in a way that in his own wickedness and the evil natured person that he was a very, very shrewd person. That is why, as soon as Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was assassinated, he knew immediately that majority of the companions are doing the Hajj. What are they doing? Those that were still alive, where are they? They have gone for Hajj. When they return back, what will happen? So he had to devise a plan very, very quickly. And so the thugs that were there wanted to make sure that immediately Hazrat Ali would agree upon the Khilafat, but Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was saying, no, I don't want to take this. But then of course that responsibility was on him. He was the most senior. He was the most senior. So of course what happens is that the Sabai sect comes up with a plan, a device, that after the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is no Nabi to come. Lo behold, from nowhere they come up with this new invention, innovation. They come up with this idea of the Twelvers, of the Twelvers, what we call Isna Ashari. Isna Ashari, we've heard of Shia Isna Ashari. Shia Isna Ashari. Isna Ashari in the Arabic language means 12. So they came up with an idea that although the Nabuwat has stopped, but now we have something new that's going to come along, which is Imams. Which is Imams. Nobody has heard of this. Nobody has heard of it. In fact, even when Abdullah ibn Sabah was brought in front of Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Ali got so angry with him, and I've also got all the hawala here, subhanallah, that Hazrat Ali said to him, that what have I got to do with this man who has no respect of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar? And in another narration, this man was banished in Madain. This man was banished in Madain. This is again another narration. And so they came up with an idea that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an is the first Imam. Who is he? The first Imam. And so altogether there are 12 Imams, according to Shia Isna Ashari, which are the majority today. There are 12 Imams. The first is Hazrat Ali. The second is Hazrat Hassan. The third is Hazrat Hussein. Then his son, Hazrat Zainul Abidin. Then Muhammad Baqir. Then Imam Jafar. Then Musa Qazim. Then Ali Raza. Muhammad Taqi. Ali Naqi. Hassan Asqari. And then finally we are waiting for Imam Mahdi to come. Who are we waiting for? Imam Mahdi to come. So these are the 12 Imams of the Shia sect. Now, what is the position of these Imams? The 12 Imams. You see, what we say of Khulafa'i Rashid, they are Sahaba'i Kiram Ajma'in. They could do a mistake. Any Sahabi could have done any mistake. But the fact of the matter is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the certificate of Jannah. Ma'asum, infallible, is only who? Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. Now, what I have here is different collection of Shia books, but it has the original page of that book. It has the original page of that book. And inshallah, what I want to do today is so that people can actually understand what their aqeedah is. What their aqeedah is, so that at least our iman is settled. Now, as far as the 12 imams go, what is their aqeedah? Now, I'm quoting this from Kya Naseebi Musalman Hai? Kya Naseebi Musalman Hai? Written by Ghulam Hussain Najafi on page 253. I'll quote you the three books that I wish to concentrate on. It says here, there were 12 imams after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is from Hazrat Ali to the last Imam, Imam Mahdi. Just as Allah chose Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be a Nabi, So too he chose the 12 Imams. These 12 Imams are pure from all sin, just as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pure from all sins. So the Aqeedah is that Hazrat Hassan, Hazrat Hussain, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, and all of them are infallible. They don't make any kind of mistakes. They are ma'soom. They are ma'soom. Just like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not make any kind of a mistake in a sense, any sin, any guna, because he was divinely protected. So the Imams are also protected. Now it says here, and this is in Usul Kafi, page 246, from Bayyinat also, page 128. Now Usul Kafi, I want to concentrate on three books of Shias. Two have been written by Mullah Muhammad Bakir Majlisi. Mullah Muhammad Bakir Majlisi. He is considered to be the most powerful Shia alim. He was born in Isfahan in 1616 and died in 1698. Lived in the 17th century. And so he wrote a book, Jila'ul Uyun and Hayatul Kulub. Hayatul Kulub. Jila'ul Uyun and Hayatul Kulub. Remember these two books, Jila'ul Uyun and Hayatul Kulub. Another man, his name is Muhammad ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq al-Kulayni. Now this person is what we would call the untouchable from amongst the entire Shia progeny. The untouchable. He has written a book called Usul Kafi. Usul Kafi. Every Shia knows of this book, Usul Kafi, Hayatul Qulub and Jila'ul Uyun. Now what makes this man, Muhammad ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq al-Kulayni, so special, is that this man, Muhammad ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq al-Kulayni, he went out looking for the 12th Imam. What did he do? He went out looking for the 12th Imam. And this might surprise some of you. He found the 12th Imam in some cave. Where did he find the 12th Imam? And this is actually written in the introduction, in the preface of that book of Usul Kafi. And he found the Imam, the 12th Imam, hiding in the cave. So Muhammad ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq al-Kulayni went to him and he greeted the 12th Imam, who is supposed to be the Mahdi. And Imam Mahdi said to him, the 12th Imam said to him, Kulayni, I want you to write a book for our Shia community, in which all of the aqaid, the beliefs, all of the rulings is there, and so that this book would be sufficient for all Shias. For all Shias. So Al-Kulayni went and he started writing a book, and he wrote a book called Usul Kafi. What is it? Usul Kafi. And then Kulayni went back to the cave. What did he do? He went back to the cave and he presented the book to the Mahdi. Now this may seem strange, really brothers, but wallahi al-azim, this is a fact. Wallahi al-azim, you know, I've got to quote whatever is in the book. That is why I've got kitabs here, so that as a Sunni, nobody can say, you know what, you're just saying something. I've showed you books. So Al-Kulayni gave him the book, and he looked at it, and he said, man, this is a masterclass. Well, you beat Imam Bukhari. He didn't say that though. Okay, these are my words. This is a masterclass. And it is such a masterclass. He said, Hada kafiyun. You know what? This book is kafi, sufficient. And because of his words Kafi, the book is named as Usul Kafi. What is the book name as? Usul Kafi. So don't forget when I quote Usul Kafi that we are talking about Al-Kulayni. These are two prominent scholars of the Shia sect. Mullah Muhammad Bakir Majlisi. Mullah Muhammad Bakir Majlisi and Muhammad ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq Al-Kulayni. Now again, you see the fundamental difference between the Sunni Muslims and those that are Shias. That the Shias actually believe in the 12 Imams. Now who are the 12 Imams? Who are the 12 Imams? I've given you the names. But again in Usul Kafi. Now Usul Kafi, the man who actually saw who? Imam Mahdi. So in his kitab page 246. In his kitab page 246. It says, there are 10 special signs of an Imam. He is born totally clean and pure. These are the Imams, the Twelvers. He is born circumcised. So none of the Imams had to be circumcised. He comes into this world with his palms upon the earth, proclaiming the testimony of faith. So when he comes, the hands are down, and he's saying, La ilaha illallah. He never has the obligation of performing farz ghusl. You know, janaba, when you become impure, ghusl, ceremonial bathing, that need never comes to them. Only his eyes sleep and the heart remains awake. Now remember, this is about Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we were talking about. He will never yawn. Absolutely whatever is given to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given to these Imams. The Imams will never ever yawn. The Imams actually can see behind just as they can see in front. So powerful lenses, you know, they can see in front at the back. The smell of musk is emitted from the excreta and the earth swallows it. So even if they go for the call of nature somewhere in the open fields, the earth has no choice but to open up and to take it in. And when he wears the armor of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it fits him perfectly. If somebody else was to wear the armor, it will not fit him at all. In fact, it will be a handspan too big. This is in Usul Kafi, page 246, from Bayyinat, page 128. Again from Usul Kafi, the man who saw Imam Mahdi, Amirul Mu'mineen, as in Hazrat Ali, radiyallahu ta'ala an, was the Imam after Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After him was Hassan, and then Hussein. After him, whoever rejects them is like he who rejects the recognition of Allah and his Rasul. So if anyone who does not take Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Hassan and Hussein as Imams, basically what are they? Kafir. What are they? Who rejects the recognition of Allah and the Messenger. So all of the Sunni Muslims would actually become kafir according to what is written in Usul-e-Kafi here. The wilaya of Hazrat Ali is written in all of the scriptures of the Anbiya. Allah has not sent any messenger who was not commanded to believe in the prophethood of Nabi and the wasiyah of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. And again, this is in Usul-e-Kafi. Hazrat Ali has the same status and position as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-iyazu billah, Usul-Kafi, from Bayyinat, page 109. Allah has made it obligatory to follow Hazrat Ali just as he has made it obligatory to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rijal Kashi, page 265 from Bayyinat. The person who rejects Hazrat Ali being the most virtuous after Nabi is a kafir. Tuhfatul Hanafiya by Ghulam Hussein Najafi, page 17. So these are the aqaid and the infallibility of the 12 Imams that the Shia sect believe in. Now, very quickly, brothers, there's a lot that can be said and covered. We haven't even touched the Quran yet. We haven't even touched the Quran yet. And if I talk about the Quran, all of you might want to go to sleep. So I'm not going to take much of your time, inshallah. Just a few more minutes. Please just be alert. And this is something very, very important. Go home and share this with your children. Explain to them, mashallah, we are Muslims. Explain to them the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Explain to them the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Infuse in their hearts the love of Sahaba. This is so important. Make sure they love the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah give jazai khair to the Saudi government that, and I've said this before, and I read this in when actually who was alive, it was Malik Fahad who was alive, and the extension of Masjid Nabwi was taking place when they wanted to put in air conditioning in Masjid Nabwi, in the new block and also in the old block. They had a meeting and they said that if we have the central zone where how the air condition is controlled, it will make a lot of noise in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they took the plant out many miles away from Masjid Nabwi so that there is no noise in Masjid Nabwi. That is adab. That is adab. That is respect. That is love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also Sahabai kiram ajma'in. Now, any man who becomes a Muslim or wants to become a Muslim, what is the first thing that we do? Take the shahada. Now, what is the difference between the shahada of the Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'at and the Ahle Tash'i and the Ahle Tash'i, those who are the Shia? Is the shahadat the same when we say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? What we believe in is that Allah is one and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger. Very simple. But what do the Shias believe? And so here I have Usulul Sharia fi Aqaidi Shia by Sheikh Muhammad Hussain Mujtahidul Asr in his kitab 422. It says that ye baat bhi muhtaj bayan nahi hai ke hamara kalma shahadat tauheed risalat aur shahadat vilayat se murakkab hai. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah ka mana kya hai? What is the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? Actually, the full kalima is not La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He says the full kalima is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah Aliyun Waliyullah wa Khalifatuhu bila fasl. This is the full kalima. This is written in this kitab which I have said. Acceptance of a separate kalima with Ali Waliyullah wa Khalifatuhu bila faslin. Page 422. Usulul Sharia fi Aqaid al-Shi'iyah. Written by Sheikh Muhammad Hussain Mujtahidul Asr. That is why you will also find that in many of the masajid, when azan is given, these words are actually chanted. You will actually hear the words Aliyun Waliyullah wa Khalifatuhu bila faslin. Aliyun Waliyullah, and sometimes they even say wa wasiyu, wa wasiyu. So even the kalima is very, very different. Even the kalima is very, very different. Now, the same thing has been said here by Mullah Bakir Majlisi in his kitab Jila'ul Uyun. Remember I said Jila'ul Uyun? And that he was living in the 17th century. Let's come to Jila'ul Uyun. One cannot be a Muslim unless one believes in the wilaya of Hazrat Ali. What does he say? And this is in Jila'ul Uyun, volume 2, page 66. Volume 2, page 66. Mullah Bakir Majlisi has said this. If one does not accept the imamat of Ali, then one is a mushrik and is the denier of Tawheed. Is the denier of Tawheed. Now in the same book, Jila'ul Uyun, Mullah Bakir Majlisi writes, Volume 2, page 60. Just a few more minutes, brothers. Volume 2 and page 60. Listen to what they believe in honor of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Now accusations upon accusations, they say Hazrat Ali said this in one of his bayans. Hazrat Ali said this in one of his bayans. What did he say? They are saying that Hazrat Ali said this: I am that being who has the keys of the unseen. None after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam knows of them. I am Zulkarnain, who is mentioned in the Quran. I am the possessor of the ring of Sulaiman. I am the master of the day of resurrection. I am the master of Sirat and the planes of resurrection. I am the being who will allocate people to hell and to paradise. This is in the Kitab Jilaul Uyun, Volume 2, Mullah Bakir Majlisi Shia. The original book is already here, but there is a translation in English that I'm doing for you. The original is already here, page 60. Page 60. And he says, I am the being who will allocate people to hell and to paradise. I am the first Adam and the first Nu. I am the sign of the overpowering. I am the reality of secrets. I clothe the leaves of the trees. I make the fruits ripen. I make the springs flow. I make the rivers flow. I am the treasure of knowledge. I am the mountain of tolerance. I am the leader of the believers. I am the fountainhead of every conviction. This is the aqidah of who? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. In the same kitab, Jilaul Uyun, where Allah says in the Quran, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا تَهُورًا, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will give pure, clean water to drink to those who are pious, to those who are pious. Mullah Bakir Majlisi does the tafsir of this ayat-e-kareema, and he says, where Allah has said, that the Rabb will give them to drink, that Rabb is Ali. That Rabb is Ali. It says here, look, this is the original book, translation. Rabb is Ali, whom Quran has called Rabb. He is the distributor of Hawz-e Kawthar, the pond of Kawthar. The person who will give to drink at the pond of Kawthar is Mawla Ali, the person whom the Quran has termed as Rabb. And then in the next paragraph he says that if there's taklif, that is why today you will find, and I want to talk on this, the messengers gave the message of Tawheed. What did the prophets do? Their duty was to talk about Tawheed, being a deity and Allah. And when any calamity befalls, one should say, Ya Ali. One should say, Ali. Even now, one should say during a calamity, it is the practice of the messengers in the Quran. What he is saying, that even the prophets at the time of difficulty would say Ali, or Ya Ali, Madad. That is why you'll find, Allah save us, that even among Sunnism, you will see that in the month of Muharram, or some people will want to wear black clothes, some people will not get married, some people will be doing some khatams and reading stories. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And you will find a lot of people still saying, Ya Ali Madad. Ya Ali Madad. All of this comes out from their books, because it is their aqidah. It is their aqidah. And finally, just to end, again, this is from Jilaul Uyun, Muhammad Bakir Majlisi, page 85. What does he say? Now, he is saying that even the Sunnis believe this. Even the Sunnis believe this. I don't know which Sunni they are talking about. And he says, the Sunni and the Shia scholars are unanimous upon this, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam are omnipresent, hazir nazir. This quality belongs to them alone. It is not the quality of Allah. That omnipresent is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his entire family. This quality does not belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Page 85, volume 2, Jilaul Uyun, Mullah Bakir Majlisi. Now, my respected brothers and elders, you see what happens. is that this should come of no surprise to anyone. You'll find today people worshipping all sorts. People worshipping all sorts. People are worshipping animals. People are worshipping human beings. But we should thank Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the right guidance. And we should look after our flock. We should look after our community. Remember, this is not here so that we spark up hatred for other communities. No. We should do shukr that Allah has given us hidayat. This is only for our own understanding and education so that people understand who we are. When we say that we are Sunni Muslims, we need to understand that there has been a great sacrifice. There has been a great sacrifice starting from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout his companions, through all of the tabi'in, tabi tabi'in, and subhanallah, until today we have Islam in its pristine condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us death with iman.
Amen.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us death in the condition that we are the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaat. And that, subhanallah, everyone will understand what is right and what is wrong. Go and do your own research and find out what the aqaid are. And you will find out. It's very, very easy. Unfortunately, you will find, just like amongst the Sunnis who don't know what is Sunnism, you will find also amongst the Shias who don't know Shiism. And they really don't know what is Shiism. But then if they understand, if they take time out to understand, okay, let me come to an understanding, it is Allah who gives hidayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.